Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Well, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, kindness. Are you ready for kindness now? We're living in a time where kindness is fleeting. I mean, it's sort of leaving us. It's sort of like honor. Honor is leaving our culture. And we need to keep it established in the house of God and in God's people. We need to keep kindness established in God's people as well. But this culture that we're in is all about me. It's how we feel, and it's what we think, and it's what we want. And if we have to hurt your feelings and talk to you in a bad way to get what I want, then so be it, because I got to have what I got to have. And that's what the culture is like. And we see it on the news that it's all about what they want, and regardless of what you have or how it impacts you, I want what I want, even if I have to destroy what you have. Now, you know, that's in our culture. It's not rampant, but it is growing rapidly. How many of you have ever seen an unkind service person? What do you call it? You going to the service? Listen. You can tell it ain't on my notes. But, no, it's not. What is the service department? Customer service. I was thinking cussing service. I don't know what I was thinking, you know. But see, our customer service sometimes, you know, but we're given opportunity. See, rudeness is rampant.
Yes, yes.
You know, but see, that's job security for Christians. What do you mean? You have an opportunity to show them kindness. Don't have to be rude, and we don't have to be rude. How many even know that we can be rude back?
Amen.
And feel like we've done God's will by doing it? Nah, it doesn't work that way. It's really not God's way. That's not God's pattern. That's not God's person. That's not God's heart. But we're living that culture that rudeness has made its way in to be normal. Our prayer is that as we go through all of these fruit of the Spirit, that it will cause us to pause when we encounter things that are rude, things that are abrasive, abusive, things of that nature. It will cause us to pause and give thought. What is the response that God would want me to give at this moment? And you know, the flesh can rise up real quick. Does everybody have a flesh like that? Raise your hand. Everybody in here needs to raise your hand. Everybody, raise your hand. You know, because we all have that flesh, that natural ability in our flesh to be able to respond in a worldly way instead of a godly way. And a lot of times we think that we only have to experience good things, and that will make us godly. No. See, it's in everything God is using it to make you and I more like His Son. Even the bad things. Even the things that are trials. Even things that are difficult. Even things that are very hard. Even the things that we see as being rude or abrasive to us. But God is in the process, as we pause and think, He's in the process of showing us who He is in us. That is His nature, the fruit of the Spirit, and what He's done for us, and also what He's going to do through us. And you know, that's His whole purpose for creating us, is for Him to have a family in His kingdom that are doing the kingdom's business, the Father's business. It's not just being born again and sitting still. It's about being born again and being taken out of the darkness and into the light, his marvelous light. But that's not the whole picture. That is a great picture because we're going to go to heaven because we're a child. That's what we say. I'm a child of God. So we're a child. But see, he didn't save us just so we could remain children. He wants us to grow up and transform into the sons of God, the mature ones, the ones that can be like Timex, take a licking and keep on ticking. I know you youngins do not know what that means. Ask your mama and your daddy, and they will tell you. But see, we don't stop when we're born again. That's just the beginning. And so we need that conversion, and that changes who we are. And then after that comes transformation, and that changes how we behave. So that's the reason you see a lot of Christians that sometimes will act immature and act childish. And the reason being is because we haven't been transformed by his presence and his nature in order to respond differently in that way than what we respond. Transformation is huge for us to grow, for us to be able to become everything that he wants us to become, because the Bible says that all of creation groans to see the manifestation, the revealing of the sons of God. All that he created is still in groaning, still groaning to see Christians grow up. Because as we grow up and we manifest all of his nature that's in us, but we manifest that and reveal that to the nature of the whole nature, then people are able to see what God is really like. So we have to do that. So I want you to go to Titus chapter 3 about this fruit. See, the very kindness that he tells us is the fruit of the Spirit is his nature. It's a tremendous expression of who he is, the word kindness. Titus 3 says this in verse 3. We also once were foolish ourselves. We also. We also once were foolish ourselves. Disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. I read that this past week and I said, Lord, we have been so bad at times, you know, and before we knew you, we were awful. See, I'm glad he didn't just leave that period there and just say, okay, y'all are done for. No, in verse 4, he said, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. When the kindness of God appeared, what's the next three words? He saved us. When the kindness of God showed up, we were disobedient, we were foolish, we were enslaved by various lusts and pleasures. We were spending our life on malice and envy and hateful, being hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, when it appeared, he said, he saved us. That's in our acceptance of the sacrifice that Jesus made. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And being justified by his grace, there you go, that's his kindness, being justified by his grace, we're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. You can trust this statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. Those who have believed God would be careful to engage. There's your transformation process, to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. See, this word appeared means to show up openly before people in a sudden way. To show up openly before someone in a very sudden way. And that's how he showed up in our lives when we were all those things about not being godly, not being God's people, and treating God all kind of different ways that were ugly and living a life that was not wholesome. And then when he suddenly appeared and we begin to see his kindness and how kind he truly is. So we got the wrong picture of God a lot of times. We think he's just looking for something wrong so he can punish us. He's done punishing. He may discipline, but how do you know discipline's not punishment? He punished sin. He punished his son for sin. He paid that price. When his kindness showed up, it appeared. It also means to come. It's to come at you in a very unexpected way. You really wasn't expecting that. All of a sudden, I remember when I got saved, I really wasn't expecting that. I remember when I experienced the love of God truly, truly, truly in a manifest way in my life. I never expected that. See, here's a God who is saying, look, I want you. I've sent my son for you so I could redeem you and that you would be mine and I would be yours. So that's the kindness of God. No matter what we do, no matter what we've done, that's the kindness of God. Proverbs 4, is kindness very important? It sure is. Listen to Proverbs 15:1. A soft word, and that word soft, is gentle and kind. So a kind word will turn away wrath. What turns away anger? A kind word, a gentle word. Not giving anger back. But flesh wants to do what? Give anger back. Wait a minute. I'm not going to let them run over me. I'm not going to let them get away with that. Well, you don't have to let them get away with it. Just be kind to them. Because the Bible says the kindness, the kind word, will turn away. It will diffuse anger. We need to learn this. We live in a world that's angry. We live in a world that's upset, bothered, mad, rude, and wants their way, and we can't always give them their way. But we can always be kind. But he says here, it will calm a person's anger. But an unkind answer will cause more anger. How many of you have ever experienced that? You gave an unkind word for an unkind word. And more anger, it got bigger. How many of you experienced that? Come on, we're in a good group. We're an honest group. You little rascals. But see, God is always about our good. He's always looking at us with his love, with his kindness, with his patience. Always looking at us that way. Goes on in verse 4, it says, as a tree gives fruit, healing words give life. The healing words, once again, is the kind words. as a tree produces fruit, he says that a kind word, kindness, will give life to people. You and I are going to run into people that don't have life, don't have eternal life. They don't know about Jesus. They need kindness. They need the kindness of God coming through us. That's the reason I said God is in the process of showing us who he is in us, what he's done for us, and what he's going to do through us. It's very important that we step up to that. But dishonest words crush the spirit. Words that have no truth in them, words that doesn't have truth or love in it, will crush people. So our words need to be important, and our actions. Proverbs 3:3 says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. That actually means to keep them in your mind. Keep them visible before you. Write them down, it says. It says you write them down on the tablets of your heart, memorizing. So you will find favor. What's the result of that? So you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. So you will find favor of God, and not only, but you will find favor of God, you will find favor of man. Just by being kind and loving. Now, if they're against Christianity, guess what? They're gonna treat you. Didn't say all men. People that hate Christ is gonna hate you. People that's gonna hate the church of the living God is gonna hate you. Right? But see, we are the people that are carrying his presence in a way that we show who he is. See, I honestly believe that this thing about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, I honestly believe that all it is living in the consciousness of his presence. It's hard to act a certain fleshly way when you are conscious of God being present. Now, I'm not talking about somewhere in your thought you might think that, you know, I'm not. When you're conscious of living in the presence of God, it's difficult to act fleshly. So I honestly believe that all his nature is his presence. All of his nature is his presence. In Colossians 4, 5 and 6 says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. I really do like that. Making the most of the opportunity. When you leave today, you and I will have an opportunity. Something will come up, something will happen, something will be said, a trial will come, or something will be, an action will be taken against you. It's coming. It's all part of God's process of making us more like him. So don't begrudge the process. Man, why are they treating me that way? I don't deserve this. See, you're not understanding the process that God's putting you in. Romans 2. Well, no, I didn't finish that one. Making the most of every opportunity that you're around. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt. So that you may know how you should respond to each person. God has a response to each person that you encounter. We will either follow God and what he wants us to do, or we will follow flesh. And what we either want, what we want, because we want what we want. That's the culture. That's the reason Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that way you'll know what the good, acceptable, you'll prove it. you'll be able to prove what the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. See, we are proving what the good, acceptable, perfect will of God as we live and as we're being transformed. We prove it to others that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. But that's with transformation. So as we live in the consciousness of his presence, the more conscious we are that he's present with me no matter where I go. And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's always with us. Now we go to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, you think lightly of the riches of his good, of his kindness. You think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God is in one translation, but they're both the same word. The kindness of God leads people to repentance. Pause, meditate, think about this. Reflect on this. The kindness of God leads to repentance. Say that with me. The kindness of God leads to repentance. Now, what does that mean? Well, I know some people that need some kindness because they really need to repent. Well, that's kindness, isn't it? No, but see, we'll get to that in just a moment. But see, here's the thing. Kindness is so powerful that when you and I demonstrate God's kindness, it impacts them and it opens a doorway for them to see a way to repent, to change, to leave where they are and turn to God. Kindness leads that. And yet, how kind are we at times? You know, I read a magazine years and years ago. I think it was Time magazine, but the writer of the article was talking about the church, and it said we. And this has been, I bet this has probably been 40, 35, at least 35 years. And it said when we needed the church the most, we turned to her and found that she was just like us. I never forgot it. When we needed the church the most, we turned to her and we found that she was just like we were, just as messed up as they are. That shouldn't be. When people are turning to God's people, we don't have to be smart enough to know the answers. We just have to be submitted enough to hear him speak when they're needing help. Do you hear that? We need to be able to love them just like they are. Love does not mean that you condone what they do. It's okay what you're doing. Love doesn't say that. Love says, I'm going to love you in spite of what you're doing. That's how he loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us enough to die for us. While we were all of that stuff that we talked about earlier. So while you're yet that way, we love them and we should give them kindness. A kind word. You don't know what the waitress that you're going to have today, or waiter, you don't know what he's been through this week. You don't know what he's been through the last month, the last year. You don't know what tragedies, you don't know what sorrow. You have no clue what they're going through. And they may be having a bad day at the restaurant. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? That's job security for us. How so? We can represent God's kindness by letting it come out of us. Andy, do you remember me and you used to go to the Chinese place? What was that? That was a buffet. No, not the, no, that's what it is now. Ryan's. We used to go over there a good bit, and we had a waitress to come, and we just cut up with her. Now, which Brenda says, that's your norm, talking about me. And anyway, but every time we saw it, you know, she would choose her for her to wait on us. And I remember the day I didn't go in and said, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. We didn't. You remember that? We didn't say who we were. Gave her names. But anyway, she'd waited on us, I don't know, four or five times, and all of a sudden, Andy speaks up and he said, well, you probably don't know this, he said, but he's a pastor of a church. And at that time, so was he. But he didn't include himself. He just said me. You're just trying to help me out. And she like to sucked up all the air at our booth. You're a pastor of a church? And I went, yep. I would have never guessed that. Now, it wasn't because I fussed at her, I was mean to her, wasn't any of that. Huh? Yeah, she said, you remember, she said, you don't act like one. And I said, I never read the book on how we're supposed to act. Yeah. And then I said, well, he's a pastor too. And she said, you're a pastor too? Yes. 2 weeks later, she was in this church, gave her heart and life to the Lord. Look, it wasn't because she found out we was pastors. We didn't fit the mold of what she thought pastors supposed to look like, act like, talk like, and all that. But we just loved on her. We just talked to her. Gave her kindness. Kindness will impact lives and lead them to places of repentance. When we do not demonstrate, listen to this, when we do not demonstrate the kindness of God, we withhold the avenue at that moment. We withhold the avenue that they can walk on to find God. We withhold that because we're withholding kindness. That as we give the kindness, we open the door for them to realize there are godly people around. There are kind people around. And it leads to repentance. It leads to a turning away from and a turning to God. You remember that girl, don't you? You remember that? I mean, it was just really awesome. I mean, we didn't preach to her, didn't give her scriptures, didn't do any of that. We just loved on her. And that impacted her to the point she said, I've got to come to you. I've got to come to the church. I said, you're welcome to come anytime you want. And like I said, 2 weeks later, she came and gave her life to the Lord. When we withhold God's kindness, by the way, kindness means to mellow out the abrasiveness and the sharpness. It mellows out that. It sort of calms that down. It sort of gives a peace to it. Just by being kind. Kindness does that. Kindness impacts our life. You know, he's in the process of fixing you and I. Raise your hand if that's you. He's in the process of fixing you and I with his spirit, with his fruit, with in the process of fixing you and I so that he can fix others through us. Boy, I like that. So he can fix others. I spent a lot of my time in the church trying to fix people and realize I can't fix anybody. But if I just let him fix me, he can fix others through me. Because we can give the kindness to them that's God's kindness. We can give the saturation of his love in the words and the deeds that we can do to show people the kindness of God. Even though disobedient and all this stuff going on, lustful and hateful, and when all that's going on, all of a sudden, see, we are true ambassadors of God, of Christ. We've actually been sent out to represent him, not to represent us, to represent him. So when somebody's rude, mad, mean, or something, then just like appeared, just like all of a sudden, when they least expected it, kindness starts coming out. Why? Because we know who we are in him. We know who he is in us. And all we have to do is just represent who he is in kindness, and he'll do the work of touching other people's heart. Kindness is so strong, it has the ability to reach in and touch a heart that's hard. But it's going to take kindness and love to do that. And I've got news for you. The young generation, it's not over with them. Nowhere close. We get annoyed. We get frustrated, us older people, you know, and us. They ain't even acting right. Why don't they just act right? You know. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about. But see, the thing is, and I saw, listen, you know what I saw yesterday? We had a marriage thing here, and it is one of the best I've been in. It really is. Me and Brenda's thinking about getting married. But no, we've been married 54 years. I'm sorry. There were some teenagers, young teenagers that was keeping the kids while the adults were here. And we took up an offering for them to pay them. And the two teenagers that were scheduled to do the nursery got their money. But there was another teenager that wasn't on the schedule to be in there working, but she came in and worked too. So she helped too. Just volunteered to help. The two girls that were in there decided we need to give her part of our money. So they took part of their money and gave it to the other girl so she could get some money for being in there too. They weren't told to do that. No adult said, this is what you need to do now. You need to do. They did it on their very own. Why? One word. What is it? Kindness. They were kind enough to share what they received, even though the other one wasn't on the payroll, but they said, we want to give her money too. They're not washed up, I'm telling you. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. And don't give up on people that are mean. Has anybody run into a mean person? Okay. Yeah. Mean. So y'all know what I mean. Mean. Okay. But I've got to go. What that did for me, I mean, really, it brought When I heard about that, it caused tears to puddle up in my eye, because God is at work in our young people. Not being selfish, but being kind and sharing. Let me tell you, look, I know we got to close, but look at Luke chapter 6. This will blow your mind. This is in the Bible. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Oh, well, I love them. Yeah, but they loved you first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good only to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? There's no credit coming. Even sinners do that. And if you lend only to those from whom you hope to get your money back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and expect to get their money back. No. You are to love your enemies and do good and lend them without hope of the return of the money. Your reward will be wonderful. It will be great. And you will be the sons, mature ones, sons of the Most High. Here it comes. For he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. That is in the Bible. He is kind to the ungrateful. He's kind to the people that are ungrateful to him. Do not appreciate God. Not grateful to God. Not thankful to God. Don't even follow God. Matter of fact, they're against God. He says, I'm kind to those as well. Boy, have we got to learn how to be kind to people. How to demonstrate his kindness. No matter what, we give him kindness. And we can do that. The reason we can do that is because he gave us the very kindness of his nature. He gave us his nature. A kind word, a kind action. Kindness is demonstrated in a lot of different ways. And you and I, from this day forward, because once you've heard the message, you're accountable for the message. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So when we run across somebody that's abrasive, just think about the presence of God and say, I'm going to give them kindness. I'm going to open up a pathway for them to be able to see the goodness of God and bring their heart to repentance. It's not you doing it. It's him. But here's the thing about it. You and I will never be able to demonstrate kindness if we're always focusing on who they're not. If our focus is on who they're not yet, then we won't be able to demonstrate kindness because we're still focused on who they're not. It's going to be hard for you and I to celebrate what people can be. To celebrate what Billy can be if I'm tripping up on who he's not. Well, he acts like this, and he acts like that, and he does this and does that. But if I'm focused on that, I won't be able to celebrate who he's about to become. So if the waitress today don't fill your tea glass up quick enough, or if you have to wait a little bit longer. So we talked about patience too. And I got reminded today that you got to talk about patience. You know, yeah, pastor had to talk about patience. I heard you. Hey, pastor had to talk about patience. Yeah, I'm looking for a patience movement. We have a faith movement. Why don't we have a patience movement? And then finally realized it takes time. To have a patience movement. We've got to be patient enough to have a patience movement. Saying, oh, I'm in a hurry. Well, it's once again, I said most of us think that when we experience the good things, that makes us godly. All things should be able to make us more like Him. He'll you. Matter of fact, how many of you need kindness? Wave at me. How many of you need? Let's just say this. How many of you need more kindness? Wait a minute. You need more kindness. Okay, I see everybody. The unruly are coming. Listen. He will take pleasure in sending you rude people. No, listen. The reason He takes pleasure because He is making space in your life for you to become like Him. He's just making space in your life for you to become like Him. That's how good our God is. You know, I was going to say it, and then I thought not say it, and now I am going to say it. It's probably flesh, but it'll be okay, I guess. But no, I said, yeah, I needed kindness, and God sent me Glenn. Listen, this is one of the most, he's got one of the biggest servants' hearts. That you'll, I mean, you got to do is just call him. But see, he shows me up by being more kind than I am. Anyway, I hope you learned something today. I hope you know that God's presence is always with us. The fruit of the Spirit is always there. And I don't know which one He's working on you today. Maybe kindness. But he makes space in your life and my life for us to be able to grow in the area that we're not like Him. He loves us so much that's how He is to us. Because He does not want us to leave. Because He wants us to be able to open the doorway for people to repent. So He can speak to the people's lives through your kindness that you demonstrated that came from God. Yes. So we need to see kindness in a lot better view than what we've ever seen it before. You know, say, well, I'm nice. Well, He didn't say be nice. He said be kind. It's a demonstration of mellowing out the abrasiveness and the harshness and the sharpness. So how many of you are going to a restaurant afterwards? And by the way, if you're going home, be kind to your wife. And if he cooked, be kind to your husband. Let's stand. I wrote one thing down and I'll share it with you. It says, remember that we are His children living under His smile. Not a frown. We're His children living under His smile and His glorious nature. So we just have to become empowered by His presence and everything that He brings to our attention concerning the fruit of the Spirit. That's another opportunity for us to be more like Jesus and less like us. If there's anyone here today that would love to experience the very acceptance of God, you want to say, I want to surrender my complete life to Him today. If there's anybody like that, would you just lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Okay. So we're all brothers and sisters. The Bible says if you're reviled, if you're mistreated because of the name of Jesus, you didn't do anything wrong, but you're mistreated because they know you're a Christian. He says you are blessed. Why? Because the spirit of His nature, the spirit of His glory, and the spirit of the living God rests upon you. Father, we love You. We thank You. And Lord, we're going to have a lot of opportunities from this day forward to be kind to people. Not demonstrating what we want, but demonstrating what You want. Demonstrating how You live in us and through us. Let us be awakened to every opportunity that You give us to show Your kindness to everyone we meet. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.